Man, looking around this room right now, you would think we're legit podcasters.
I know. Isn't that nuts?
Look at it. Insane. But if I look slightly in one direction or the other, I see massive amounts of just shit all over the floor and empty boxes.
Yeah, and exactly.
There's a sock stuffed in my door where the doorknob should be.
Oh, yeah, no, it's good. I have a towel here in the floor that was on my hair the last time we recorded, so it's okay. But seriously, though, looking at this sexy-ass mic is nice.
It's doing things for me.
It is. It just looks rich.
I feel so rich when I use this mic.
Such a rich batch.
That's funny because, you know, decidedly not.
Re-wet towel on floor.
Yeah, re-sock for a doorknob. The Christmas spooky chode.
It was a hit, it seemed. It seemed like people liked it. I don't know. I don't know what people like.
So. Clearly, we have no idea what people enjoy. But you know what? It seems as if it has been a hot minute since we've recorded. We say that every episode, especially this last
I'm ready for it. You know, like I am. I'm ready for it. And I mean, we say this anytime, like literally anytime our schedules are mildly disrupted. Like when we come back to normal, we're like, oh, it's been so long. But it has
a
been.
A return to normalcy.
Exactly. So it was. It's nice. I'm excited to get back to the topic, Sharon.
The last time we had an actual topic episode, i.e. just two episodes ago, not a big deal. Oh, we did Hickory and Skullcap. So I guess that means that I'll be running out of the gate first.
You know, I don't know if I have much of a recollection of the Hickory and Skullcap episode, which is funny because I edited that episode and I don't remember it. No, I edited the Spooky Chode.
It took me a second. I sat here for just a hot second. If there was a pause in my thought process, it was because I was like, who did what?
Yeah, I was like, Skullcap? Charlie talked about Skullcap?
God. Do that? You know what I can tell you about Skullcap today? Dick nothing.
I know. I'm losing my grip on reality.
Oh, I guess mentioning that this is the last episode of 2020.
Yeah, it is, man.
Thank fuck.
I'm gonna bum you out. Are you ready?
No.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and
Bummer.
Never brought to mind?
I'm
should old.
Oh God! You just do the whole fucking song in its entirety.
Seriously though, it's a lot of words. Like I just pulled it up earlier today because I've only ever heard those four lines. Like, should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot and days of all blank sign? I don't fucking remember that well, but I knew that. And it's like 80 verses. There's like a billion verses and that follow that. And I was just like, not that dedicated. All right.
Where's the four most famous lines? I'll go with those.
Exactly. Yeah. So I like that song though. I'm here for it.
I would be remiss if I didn't correct my earlier sentiment on that song. I enjoy it. I like the song because I love a bummer song. I just don't see it in the context of what is usually a happy celebration to start a new year. That song seems like it's about the apocalypse to me. And I just don't think it fits.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned loving a bummer song. Hunter and me were talking about this. Yesterday.
Are we going to talk about fucking, what's his name? Chad Breckman.
Tal Buckman.
No.
But I was talking about that. Like, I just kind of had a playlist on, and he had made dinner, and we just had, like, one of my playlists on or whatever, and a lot of them are, like, really kind of, like, they're upbeat sounding, but they're, like, real sad sack songs.
I love that.
I do, too. And I looked at him, and I was like, man, I feel like if someone didn't know me and they just stumbled across my playlist, they'd think I was just bummed as hell, but I just like really down music for some reason. And I overload my shit with it. Even I could be just like bustling happily around the kitchen, just moving around, and someone's just miserably wailing the saddest story you've ever heard. And I love it.
See, that's why I love the Smiths so hard, is because I feel like half of their songs have this really upbeat, like sort of like a country vibe to them. But if you listen to the words, you're like, oh shit.
That's, yeah, like there's a group, Lost Dog Street Band, and it's so good. And like really, like kind of that traditional like Irishy bluegrass sound, if you know what I'm talking about.
Dude, this is weird. This whole, as far as we've been, as soon as you started singing the fucking bummer song, I have been sitting here thinking the words Irish music, like over and over and
it's
over.
It's very sad, you know, like it's very sad music. But like it takes on like this group, like things of like abuse and whatnot. Like there's a song called Coming Down that's literally kind of, you know, about coming down from a high, but it's gorgeous. You know, it's this beautiful song and you don't really know it. And like Hunter found them first and was listening to them. We just listened to each other's music and it was on in the house a lot. You know, I liked it and it would get in my head. And then like I just paid attention one day and listened to it and I was like, holy shit, this is heavy. And I just love shit like that, you know?
I love that moment of realization when you're listening to a song that you kind of jam along to. The first time I ever heard the song No Children by the Mountain Goats, I saw it as a recording. They had performed it live and somebody just uploaded some footage from their phone.
Yeah.
And the lead singer, he was very jovial during the performance of it. Like he's smiling during certain lines and it just, oops, I hit the mic again. I'm going to have to get a shock mount for this bitch. He's just being very happy and to just watch, it seems like it would be a very happy song. So I kind of associated that every time I listened to that song. Mm-hmm. I was just like, oh yeah, here's a jam. But if you listen to the words, it's maybe one of the saddest songs that has ever happened.
I love it.
And I love it a lot. We're bummers. We're true to life goth kids. Okay, one more little tale. Speaking of of this kind of music, you know that song that's, I don't know any of the words and my dad's gonna be so mad at me, you know that song that's like this might be cut because this is gonna be so bad how much I don't know the words, but you know that song that's like it's like an Irish sailing song and it's like Himmich de Gumi, you know what I'm talking about?
What?
Oh fuck, I'm gonna have to call that.
You better not fucking cut this out. I swear I will kill you in your sleep.
I'm going to
be late.
You can't tell me. Okay, hold on, I have to Google.
Are you talking about the like the old, like, I don't know if that's even Irish, but like, what would you do with a drunken sailor?
No.
Well, you're not talking about that one, are you? Is somehow Hamish Magooby in there somewhere?
I'm not. Hold on. God damn it.
Oh my.
The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
I don't know that song.
Yes, you goddamn do.
Do I?
Yes, you absolutely motherfucker. Fucking do.
Hold on. A melody. Hum
it's
me.
Good and light. Okay, hold on. Let me play it. Oh, God. You're going to make me do this?
Sure.
You know. Oh, God. I can't even do it, Mace. I can't bring myself
breathing.
To do it.
I hear you breathing.
That's how much anxiety I have. Da 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 da. Please, please, Maisie, please.
I don't know it. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sending. I have to send this to you. I need the confirmation. You don't understand.
Okay, send it to me, and we'll cut out. We'll put elevator music for when I'm listening to it. Well, I'm glad we solved that.
That was, you have no idea how much that was gonna eat my soul up.
Well, in case anybody needs to know, I did know the song.
Yeah, she did. Thank God. I can't believe you didn't spot it quicker with my spot-on fucking impression.
You know what you sounded like just a little bit? Huh. Because you were, like, rigid and nervous, and I could tell. So, you know, when fucking Charles Foster is drunk, and he's doing the ah-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, somebody in the coven wants to hear your pickles impersonation because you were talking about it.
Oh, God. Okay. Well, I have to let it happen organically. So give me some time and I'll try to drop it somewhere in the episode.
Right. Slip the pickle in.
Just slide a little pickle in.
Okay. Listen, tell me about licorice root, which I don't think we've announced we're talking about, but tell me about licorice root because I know that's what you're talking about.
How did you know? Oh. Mother douchebag. There we go. There's one.
That was okay. So deeply unexpected. Wonderful.
Glad I could keep you on your toes.
Yeah. Oh. Okay.
Okay. Well, listen here. Before we go any further. You know, it's a 50-50 shot that after I say that you go, ooh. So I always like to pause and give some time for you to make the noise. But you didn't do it this time, so I'm going to move ahead.
I'm sorry.
We have a Patreon shout-out segment. Mm-hmm. Macy, hit him with the Patreon shout-out second song.
Do we just
it, but do it right this time.
That? Yeah, well, last time I did it exactly right, and you were not satisfied with it.
Oh, so. No, you did some weird Porky Pig song. It's like the Looney Tunes theme.
What? Does that mean
what
fine, sure, I'll sing it and you're gonna fucking hate it. It's the Patreon shout out segment. You
that
fucking hate it.
Spot on. No, that was spot on the nuggets.
Don't think so.
No, I do think so, actually.
I don't believe you.
I love it when you don't believe me. I love the tone that your voice takes. Today's episode is brought to you by Brielle S.
Oh, that's pretty, Brielle.
Brielle S. You're a fine girl. What a good wife you
are. Oh, wow. I thought we were about to hop out with the same song. Like, and we weren't, but I was about to roll out. I hate how much singing I'm doing this episode because I've had like mad allergies all day and I'm all kind of like up in my throat and I can hear it. But the first thing that came to my head was Brielle S, but you're gone too far because you know it don't matter anyway.
What's he say about you, little bitch? What does he say?
It's a bitch, girl. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to slide into licorice here.
Wonderful. I am happy to be here.
I know that you are. And this comes at a good time because if you are truly having some throat problems, listen, licorice has your nuts. This is one of the most difficult to pronounce Latin names that I think that I personally have come across. Let me spell it for you because you're gonna think that I made this up or you're going to think that somebody just absolutely gave up about halfway through typing it. It's GlyCyrrhiza. Glycerhiza.
Oh.
Glabra. Oh. Glycerhiza glabra. There we go. And that comes from the Greek word for sweet root.
Oh, okay.
I love how literal a lot of these Greek and Roman.
Yeah, are. I know. They're telling it like it is. It's a sweet root. Damn it.
Well, see, the thing is, like, we look at this name. Well, not this name because it's fucking stupid. But we look at these names, Latin and Greek and stuff, and they sound very, what's the word? Posh, maybe.
Yeah, very fancy.
Very fancy. But in their own tongue, they were just like, sweet root. The planetary association is Mercury, and more on that later. That comes into play possibly more than any of the other planetary associations that we usually see with roots. But first, I just want to let you know, Macy, that not all types of licorice have the same taste. That taste that we have come to associate with the candy. Most are sweet, yes, but from one source, I saw that depending on the variety, it can be up to 50 times sweeter than sugar.
Wow.
But it does range. There are varieties of licorice that have a light peppery flavor. And in fact, most commercial licorice candies don't actually contain licorice at all. Rather, anise, which has a comparable taste.
It does. It do.
You'll have to remind me of the properties of anise throughout this episode. I think these are similar. However, licorice seems to have more in common with marshmallow, you know, than than anise. But however,
I haven't worked with anise in a good long. You know how you just like cycle through things, you know, and then and I haven't worked with it in so long. I only remember a few of like the main things about it, but I was thinking actually the other day I needed to brush up on anise because I burned one on a disc and remembered how much I loved it. And yeah, I was thinking, man, I need to crack my book open and reread.
Man, I will really use anise as a last ditch effort. If I have nothing else and I have to use anise, I still might not use anise. I just hate it, dude. And I hate fucking fennel and I hate licorice. I just don't like
Italian sausage, baby.
I will avoid Italian sausage like it is the plague. Okay. Contraindications. Do not use if you are pregnant unless instructed by your doctor. It looks like, now this is according to a study, like one study that appears to be kind of out of date, but it's worth thinking about. Licorice can be linked to premature birth and brain development problems in the fetus.
Wow.
Look out if you have high blood pressure, because licorice can cause a spike in blood pressure, along with fluid retention, swelling, and heart failure caused by lowered potassium levels. Mm. Now, this next bit is from medicalnewstoday.com. Here's some potential drug interactions. Call your doctor before doing anything if you take drugs that lower potassium, that for blood pressure, diuretics, heart rhythm medications, blood thinners, estrogen, hormone therapy, birth controls, and corticosteroids. Okay. Boring shit out of the way. I hit the fucking mic.
Was that corticosteroids? Go ahead,
corticosteroids. What did I say?
I don't remember, but I
something don't not
think it was that.
This is the episode where you find out my hidden secret. I can't actually read.
Clark has just given you cue cards the past 3 years.
Yeah. He's in my ear whispering things out phonetically to me. Is what's happening. All right. History. So go ahead and add licorice to the goulash of herbs that the ancient Egyptians would send their dead into the next life with. Because licorice is a strong protector. The Roman armies, or the armies of Rome, would carry licorice with them to provide great fortitude. And our friend Nicholas Culpepper, who you might remember from the Valerian episode. I think we did quite a bit of talking about how delicious his name said, like sounded or felt to say. Nicholas Culpepper. He wrote this about licorice. And I'm going to do what I think he sounds like. Licorice is a fine medicine for those who have a dry cough or hoarseness, wheezing or shortness of breath, phthisis, and then they clarify that we now know that as tuberculosis, heat of the urine, and grief of the lungs.
Thank you.
I think that's what he sounds like.
I think you're right. Like he spoke through you.
He did. What? I've been blacked out for the last 13 seconds. What happened? All over, licorice has been used for its sweetness adding ability in cooking. By the way, in my notes, when anytime I had to write licorice, I just wrote lick. So I'm reading this and I'm like, you might be familiar with lick. You might be familiar with licorice's tie to throat health. My mind immediately went to throat coat tea, as it did with the marshmallow. And I would like to state here that anytime I'm saying marshmallow, I'm not talking about the delicious pillowy treat. I'm talking about the plant. So immediately I thought about throat coat tea. Licorice is along with marshmallow and I think a couple of other things, which we've already talked about. If you want to hear the marshmallow episode, it is episode 101 to answer your question. It's what lends the tea that kind of creepy, slimy property, literally coating your throat. And I know you're down with that, Mace.
Mucusy.
Much like marshmallow, licorice shines in adhering to those types of skin linings. So think the inside of the mouth, the throat, the GI tract, things like that, making it a wide-used remedy for sore throats. And I've crafted a little recipe for sore throats at the end of this topic. In a similar vein, it's good. Oh, sorry. Nicholas came out of me a little bit then. In a similar vein, it's good for relieving coughs, cold and flu symptoms that present in the throat or in the gut. And what I mean by that is upset stomach, just any kind of these things that are, you know, it's not going to help you with your fever or anything. It's going to help with like the inside of your body things. Mm. I think it's even good for if you know you're going to be like vomiting a lot. It helps that process happen easier. It doesn't necessarily stop it from happening, but it makes it a little less, you know what I mean? You hear where I'm going with that?
Oh, yeah.
As an added bonus, licorice, it kind of lubes the pipe, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
As an added bonus.
I need the toilet.
I can't tell you how much I think of that. I need the toilet. I say that to myself every day. As an added bonus, licorice helps to drive out excessive mucus, lessening inflammation. It holds antiviral and antimicrobial properties, and even triggers the body's own natural antiviral production. So it's very helpful in sicknesses. Along with helping a sore throat that is sick, or a throat that is sick, it's sick. Many... You like these tattoos? Many singers swear by using a licorice spray or perhaps chewing on some licorice candy before performing to keep the voice strong and granting longevity. Also, because it has a mild numbing effect to the throat. Yeah. It can kind of help if you just know you're going to be in a situation where your throat is a little fucked. You know, in certain surgeries, they like shove a tube down your throat.
Yeah.
Or I guess if they need to like pump your stomach or something like that. Anytime that tube is shoved down your throat, afterwards, it can cause some discomfort known as post-operative sore throat or post. A study found, now this is real, and I saw this all over the place. This is crazy. A study found that a licorice-based gargle helped in easing the pain as well or better than if you use like a larger amount of licorice than a ketamine gargle.
That's strong.
Should we be gargling horse tranks? I'm sure that's a medical thing. I'm sure it's a real thing, but I don't want anyone at home to like take your ketamine and start gargling it just for fun. Just a little.
Yeah. Let's just put a disclaimer. Ketamine is not for casual gargling.
Yeah. You wake up with like a sore throat one day and you're like, oh, I got to call my drug dealer. Fuck. Oh, man. Okay. So aside from the throat, licorice is also bigly helpful in the gut. Nothing? I say gut health and you say nothing, Mace? Who are you?
Listen, I gotta keep the mystique alive.
Okay. Sure, I understand that. It's helpful in the gut, reducing nausea, pain from ulcers, gastritis, and heartburn, which is heartburn a gut thing?
I didn't know that. It can be tied to that. Yeah, I mean, just your overall, like the balance of your body and whatnot. A lot of the time, you know, if your body's just running acidic is another reason. But yeah, I think poor gut health overall, just kind of a poorly functioning digestive tract can give you heartburn.
Uh-oh, guys, I got her talking about gut health. Strap in, we'll be here for a while. Licorice will also help the body produce estrogen. So some have used it as relief from the pains of menopause. I'm talking hot flashes. I'm talking night sweats. All of that stuff that comes along with it. And this is from licorice. Listen, Mace, listen to this. You want a website? I'll give you a website. This is from licorice.org.
Excellent.
I like it.
It's like poison.org.
They say. That's right. Poison.org and licorice.org are best friends. They say, we did get a message that chewing licorice root has been most helpful in giving up smoking, as it gives the hands something to do and has the shape and texture of a cigarette. It also tastes somewhat like tobacco because cigarettes are flavored with licorice.
Well, there you go.
I didn't know. I was a smoker for a long time, and I gotta tell you, never picked out that licorice taste, but I'll take your word for it.
I could kind of see it. I've never smoked a cigarette, but like I used to work at like a grocery store and I would sell cigarettes. And, you know, when you open that cigarette cabinet, to me, they just smell like Fig Newtons. Like when they're not burning, when they're all like packaged and whatnot, like, which yeah. like good tobacco, like loose tobacco really does, but like cigarettes kind of do too. Mm-hmm. But I could maybe see how licorice could slip in there a little bit.
Yeah, okay. If you would have told me there was licorice in a cigarette, I would have quit years ago. All right. And sort of straddling the line between mundane and metaphysical, in TCM or traditional Chinese medicine, licorice was called the ambassador herb. Because of it, God damn it, if I hit this mic one more time, because of its ability to help all of the ingredients used in medicine or in spiritual work kind of work together smoothly. It just kind of it was the social lubricant of all of the herbs. It got everybody working together and talking and being friends. You might remember earlier in the episode, just hit back a couple of times if you don't remember, I mentioned that the ruling planet was Mercury, the planet of communication, reason, and the mind. All right, so having said that, one of the main uses for licorice is the control and manipulation of the reason, thought, and even the actions of another person. This might not be your thing, okay? So if you are genuinely, if you're purely like a right-hand path person, or you don't kind of go into the gray or, you know, left-hand or anything like that, you may want to stick to just the mundane side of things, okay? But we're here to present all of the information to you. I would also like to advise you to not just listen to this episode and then like jump into some kind of licorice-centered spell. This one comes with a warning. Do your own research. Decide how you feel about it / how you want to use it, okay? With that out of the way, I also want to say that while used through many traditions, the main surviving uses are mainly within the conjure magics and hoodoo and things like that. So be aware and, God damn it, I hit the fucking mic. So be aware and respectful of that. However, throughout time, the main magical use of licorice was to gain control over a person or even a situation. So drinking a licorice tea, burning it as incense, or applying the oil to the person, their home, maybe even a poppet of the person, a picture, a candle, used in candle spells, you know, anointing the candle in a licorice oil, that is said to give you control over that person. Outside of the control element, which again, I think it would be cool to actually maybe have, I don't know, dude, maybe we could have like a whole episode about that kind of stuff, you know, one of these days, or talk to somebody who's very, very familiar with it. I don't want to go too far into that because I don't, I've never used it for that purpose. You know what I mean? And I think that's very specific. But outside of the control and the gaining, the upper hand, I guess, over somebody. Okay. Outside of that, licorice has its place in the works of lust, keeping lovers faithful.
It is an aphrodisiac.
It is. But even then, it kind of like still had an air of control, like a little forceful in its powers of love. You know what I'm saying? Like a lot of the times when you work with us, like rose, you know, us like a soft fish. It's like this might make the person think of you more if they wanted to.
Yeah,
you
know, or it might kind of like patchouli.
You see, that's what I actually wrote here. I said it was a more dom version of patchouli. So that's all you need to know. You know, in the SpongeBob movie when fucking Patrick walks in with those like dominatrix boots?
Yes, yes.
In the song at the very end, that's what I'm picturing licorice doing. It's just walking in with some good like ass high thigh lace
boots. Yes, like kinky boots.
Yes, yeah, and like a riding crop. Licorice is Dirty, man. Okay, this comes from Mountain. This comes from mountainhedgewitch.squarespace.com.
Okay.
To keep or attract, that is licorice's act. Just remember to thank this slow-growing root for its hard efforts. Also, I love to keep or attract, that is licorice's act.
Yeah, a good little rhyme.
To round out my segment, I have a recipe. I call this Charlie's treasured tea for the surprisingly sore throat.
Oh.
I love alliteration. Oh, I'm a writer. Here's what you need. You need about 2 cups of boiling hota. You need 1/2 teaspoon of licorice root, 1/4 teaspoon of marshmallow, 1/2 teaspoon of slippery elm bark, and 1/4 teaspoon of dried peppermint. Also, bring you some honey to taste. Now, I picked honey because that's also good for the throat. It'll help with that kind of stuff. If you're more of a sugar person or whatever you want to add to it, you know, do you. Steep the licorice root and the elm bark together in the hot water for 6 to 8 minutes. And you're going to do that before everything else because these are thicker. If we go back and think about the difference between a tea and a decoction, you're sort of making a decoction out of these roots, which take longer to extract those properties from and extract the chemical compounds and everything from. So let them roll for about 6 to 8 minutes in, I'd say, simmering water. And then after that, you can add the rest of the ingredients and you're done. There's your tea.
Hey.
Sip it. Feel
drink
better.
It down.
Suck it down with a straw.
Getting slippery. Just let it slide down.
Oh, God, nasty. I don't.
I had to clear my throat in the middle of your segment a minute ago and I didn't want to, but I thought I wasn't going to be able to breathe. It's really bad. My allergies are killing me.
I don't think I heard you do it.
Oh, it was loud. It was like, you know, when you can fight it off consciously and you're like, okay, I'm not going to do it. And then you slip consciousness for just a second and lose control and you're just like, and that's what I did.
I do kind of the opposite. I'll get to thinking about it and where I would have probably not had to do it. Like I'm doing it a little bit now just because we're talking about it. Mm-hmm. If I'm thinking about it, it becomes all I can think about. And I'm like, I got to do it. I got to do it. I got to do it. I got to until
Okay. So we've got that figured out. How are we going to get the mental health in check?
Oh my goodness. That's always so important. Personally, I like to keep my mental health in check by using BetterHelp online counseling services. BetterHelp online counseling services will connect you with a professional, licensed therapist.
And the good thing about BetterHelp, too, is that if you live in maybe a rural area or a smaller town kind of area that might not have a whole bunch of different specific specialties, BetterHelp.com, since it is now global, can put you with a therapist that can really understand you and the situation that you're in.
And if you do happen to find that you're not jiving with your therapist, maybe they don't have a ton of experience in what you want to talk about, there is no issue to change therapists. They make it quick, clean, and easy.
One thing that we like to touch on, because it's very important right now, of course, BetterHelp is all online. So you don't have to leave the comforts of your home. You don't have to sit in a terrible, terrible waiting room. Every session that you have is private, confidential, and can be done in your home.
You can head over to betterhelp.com/witch to take the questionnaire and get matched up with your therapist and start talking, listen, in under 24 hours. If I wanted to make an appointment at a physical office, it might be a month before I get in.
And listen, if you don't believe us, you can go over to BetterHelp, that's HELP.com, and read testimonials every day from people who are sharing their positive experiences with BetterHelp.
If you use the code WITCH, you get your first month 10% off.
One more time, that is BetterHelp.com/WITCH to get 10% off your first month with BetterHelp. All right, you haven't even asked me what I'm talking about.
Because I'm a rude bitch.
You don't care about me, which is funny because you're the one that only ever does, and I never do.
We've switched places. Look at me. Look at me. I am the host now.
Oh.
Listen. I mean, I guess I am the host. We're both the host.
Yeah. You're the host, though.
Did you ever read that book, Host?
By Stephanie Meyer?
Yeah.
No.
I didn't either.
All right, cool. Me neither. I have a poison for you. I have a poisonous bitch. Just straight up fucking poison.
So ready. Did it come from poison.org?
It didn't come from poison.org. I regret not doing that, but I'm talking to you about Oleander.
Oh, classic kill your husband poison.
Yeah. So I do want to start this with like a disclaimer. Like, this plant is fucking poisonous. Like, just because it's growing like right outside the drive-thru line at McDonald's doesn't mean that it can't fucking kill you. Like, it's put everywhere. It's a landscaping plant. Like, it is. Like, I've seen it before. Like, at fast food, like, because it's just a common, it's one of the most common landscaping plants on the planet. And, like, it's everywhere. And I see it all of the time, everywhere. And, yeah, it will fucking kill you, or at least give you, like, some pretty solid dermatitis. Like, just don't, if you're going to deal with it, if you're going to touch it, wear gloves. Like, just be cognizant of that, and don't suck on it, and don't let your pets suck on it. It's literally a poison.
How funny, though. How funny that, like, we as humans just pick this thing, and we surround our bullshit fast food places and shitty, stupid suburb houses with this poison.
Yeah, a poison! And, like, one of the most famous ones, too, and it's just hiding in plain sight, and it's just ridiculous. So, scientific name is Nerium oleander, and it's kind of cultivated worldwide as just like a fucking landscaping plant. It's ornamental. It's really resilient. It's a shrub. Because of its resilience, especially in like the drier, kind of more arid climates, you know, it does pretty okay there. And because of its prevalence being put all over the world now, there's no like precise location as to where it came from, but it looks like the Mediterranean basin. Like, that's the best option. So it's fine with drought and like a lot of water. It can handle that too. It doesn't like frost. It can't handle frost. So that's why you don't get it as much in like colder areas. But like, you know, like I have, the reason I talked about this is because I have oleander in my yard, that pawpaw plant.
You dumb bitch.
I have several of them, actually. And they're just randomly haphazard. You'll just stumble across an oleander. It's like, oh, shit. But
are you trying to kill me?
I was walking around and I forget that I have them, you know, and like, because there's just a lot of like landscape bushes that are just everywhere that pawpaw planted over the years. And I was just walking the dogs outside and I was just like, God damn it, that's an oleander. Like, that's interesting that's here. And then I was just like, hey, I'll talk about it. But the point of this is that it grows well in like Texas, California, you know, New Mexico. Like, it does good in that kind of more arid, hot climate. Along with being hardy, it blooms for a really large portion of the year. So that's another thing. They do peak in the summer, but they have a very long blooming period. So they're just very ornamental. They're very pretty. However, there are several compounds in oleander that make it toxic. One good thing about it, I guess you can say, is that it's quite bitter. So it's not necessarily like palatable. You know, you don't want to eat it. And like most animals don't want to eat it either, you know, that could be harmed by it. So poisoning is pretty rare from oleander, because of that, you know, it's not like it tastes like lettuce. Like, it's bitter and pungent and unpleasant. You can get really screwed though if you eat a fair amount of it, and it really doesn't take as much as you think. So eating a fair amount of it, you'll like vomiting, excess salivation, severe abdominal pain, bloody diarrhea, arrhythmia, which is always freaky.
Is arrhythmia? What is arrhythmia? That's when your heart beats
irregular, heartbeat
out of sync.
Yeah. And like, it's not the same as palpitations, which I think are like, you know, quick and temporary. I want to say arrhythmia is like an actual thing. So probably arrhythmia might not be the right word, but just like unsteady, irregular heart rhythm. It can induce that. The sap, which is really pretty concentrated, prolonged exposure to that can cause skin irritation, dermatitis, eye inflammation. It's just all around. Our bodies reject it. It's not good for us.
Then why is it so pretty?
I know. Well, that kind of goes into the metaphysical elements too, which I really quite like the concept of using this plant, especially for like what it's used for. But you just got to be so damn careful with it. No. Magic. Oh. The magical part.
Oh.
Not the women's weapon.
This is also the episode where we find out you're fucking Dexter.
It grows pretty widely across the United States as well. So on the East Coast, it's there in Virginia. Well, it also is in California and Texas. And they plant oleander quite often along median strips on highways. And I found that there are an estimated 25 million oleanders planted along highways and roadsides throughout the state of California. So it's just everywhere. So
they just
because
want to die out in California.
I know, it's just like, do y'all just forget, you know? Like, I just feel like we're playing with fire here, you know, a little bit. Like,
I mean, how often do kids just shove things in their mouth?
That's my thought, because that's all kids do.
Yeah, that's all they do. That's how you experience the world. You shove things in your mouth.
Put it in your mouth. Or up your nose.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like in Skyrim when you need to learn the abilities of a plant. So you just eat it, even if it's a giant's toe. You just eat it and you know what it does.
Did I ever tell you when I was younger that I like got a bead stuck up my nose and I panicked for several hours? Did I ever tell you that?
This feels vaguely familiar. Macy, I have questions. A, how did it get there? B, why was it there for several hours? C, why didn't you just do a country boy blow and get it out of your nose?
It wasn't working. And I don't know why I put it up my nose. I really don't. And it was like one of those
Wait, hold on. You voluntarily
I must
put it up your nose.
I don't really remember. Okay. I was very small. And this was not a recent thing.
Was it yesterday?
No. I was like older than a toddler, old enough to remember and communicate. Like that, whatever age that
I was thinking like
not good kid ages.
I'm not good with kids either. I have no idea. I was thinking like 6 or 7, like the age you probably should have known better. But okay.
I think it was, I might have been just on the underneath of that, like maybe like 4 to 5. Huh. And I had like this box of beads, you know, like early 2000s plastic beads that you made friendship bracelets out of. And I don't know why I put one up my nose. I don't have a memory of that. My guess was I wanted to like get it flat and see if I could still breathe through it, you know, because it had like a hole in it. I guess that would be why I would put one up my nose now. I don't know. But
yeah, curious.
I got it up there a little too far and I couldn't get it out. I was panicking. I was scared to death and I couldn't get it out. And it was, and I had to, you know, I had to go to grandma and she had to help me with it.
Oh no. What did grandma do? She just smacked it on the back of the head.
I just remember us sitting together and she like helping me realize how to like rocket it out, you know?
Gross. Did you keep it? You should have kept that.
No, but I remember that it was purple.
The things we remember in certain situations.
Yeah. Yeah. It's burned in there, you know?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Well, I'm so glad that you've shared that with us.
Yeah, there you go. So it's all over Galveston Island.
Okay.
So apparently after the big bad hurricane in 1900, which pretty much just flattened Galveston Island, they planted a lot of oleander all over the place. I guess just because of like how durable it is. It scares off the hurricanes. It's everywhere. And so now it's the Oleander City and they have their Oleander Festival every spring. Along with that, so Moody Gardens, which is in Galveston, they have like this really intense like oleander, like the International Oleander Society, and they propagate all of these different species and cultivate different ones. And so they have like every named variety of oleander there. And that's kind of where they're
badass.
Bred. And I was like, yeah, that's pretty cool.
I want to dress like a Victorian lady and go, you know, pick some for my poisons.
All I can think is the movie White Oleander. And they have like the stem of the oleander in the milk glass and they pour the milk. You know what I'm talking about? Have you seen it?
Yep.
That's all I've thought this whole time is cutting the stem and putting it in a glass and then pouring the milk around it.
I also, just by association, have been thinking a lot about steel magnolias.
Oh, God, how sad.
That's so sad.
So sad.
Just because, you know, both flowers.
You know, and I do love a magnolia.
I do love a steel magnolia.
How poisonous is oleander? Like, what are we talking? Well, it's pretty fucking poisonous. So, there's several toxic elements. So there are cardiac glycosides, saponins, digitoxigenin, oleandrin, which that sounds like a TM.
Okay.
Like, that's very brand specific. Oleandrocyte, neurocide, and other unknown toxins. So it has toxins we haven't heard of yet.
Undiscovered toxins. What was it again? Oleandrum?
There was oleandrocyte and oleandrin.
Oleandrin. I feel like I'd see that on a commercial. It'd be like, if you want to kill your husband, consider oleandrin.
Oleandrin. Yeah, it's very pleasant and happy, you know. These poisons, they're found everywhere in the plant. So like the whole plant wants to hurt you. Like roots to leaves to flowers to like sap, wood. It doesn't matter if it's dried or green. Like ingesting any part of the plant can lead to serious illness, maybe death. And just burning the wood. Like, so say you like you're landscaping and you rip up an old dead oleander and you burn it, you can get fucking sick if you breathe that smoke in. Like, it's just all around toxic. So if you want to like pull one up, be very careful, especially if you live in neighborhoods and whatnot, or just for your own knowledge, like don't burn oleander bushes. Like, they can make you very sick. So ingesting oleander plant parts, you know, the symptoms can go from moderate, you know, to fatal, and can range, you know, I had said some earlier, but you like just blurt, like some of the more minor ones, like, which don't always, like they seem like minor symptoms, but can be major things going wrong. But for instance, like blurred vision, disturbances in vision, such as like kind of the halo look, low blood pressure, dizziness, lethargy, they can just really fuck you up. So, and several of those were from also breathing in the smoke as well. Like that can get you. So the toxicity is considered extremely high, and it's also been reported that it doesn't really take that much to be lethal or near lethal if ingested.
Would that stem trick from the movie like work, you think?
I think so. Like, don't poison people, but like they probably put it in there, you know, they probably did that for a reason. Like, I was doing this, I was like, man, if I probably had to do that, that would make the most sense, you know, like slit the stem and just pop it in there. Listen, don't do it.
You've thought about this.
Let's talk about the metaphysical. It's a really protective plant in a lot of different ways. So it's very self-preserving. It can handle drought. It can handle severe moisture. It can handle pretty much anything. But along with that, it's so poisonous. Nothing wants to eat it. Nothing really wants to fuck with it. And it's wrapped in this precious little exterior of something that you'll find outside of your local coffee shop.
The whole thing just reeks of going,
Exactly. And so it's kind of this like sleeping giant when it comes to poisons. You know, it's like it's so integrated, and we see it all of the time, and it's everywhere, public parks and all of these other places, and it can fucking kill you, or at least mess you up really good. So it's like hidden in this like very pretty in pink exterior. And she just, Oleander's just sure of herself through and through to me. Like, and so being used for protection, you know, it can be added to sachets or, you know, other things that are contained, such as like a jar spell. Don't just leave it loose. Don't make it to where it could fall out on the floor, things like that. If you're handling it, you need to wear gloves. And it's not to be added to anything that will burn. And again, don't fucking poison anyone with it, like yourself included. Like, just don't be an idiot.
That is a terrifying realization. The other day I made an incense and I knew pretty much what everything did, pretty much except some, what was it, devil's shoestring. And I was like, oh, yeah, it looks woody. It looks fine. I put it in there and I burnt the incense like pretty much all day. And then later read, do not burn, very poisonous.
Yeah.
So for like two days, I was like, oh, I'm dying. So yeah, that's spooky to realize you've done.
Yeah. Take them.
This is it.
Take them seriously. Like, this is a serious plant. Don't just think because it's located everywhere that it's innocent. It's not. I also saw in several places that along with protection, somewhat ironically, in my opinion, it's used in love spells, like charm bags and things like that, which I can kind of see it, you know? I mean, it kind of has that kick the door down, but also like, look how sweet and pretty I am energy, you know?
Yeah, but I'll fucking kill you.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so it's like, I could say it's kind of a wild card addition, you know, but it could work.
I mean, maybe it'll keep things spicy.
You know, one thing I do also want to say, do not put it in a bath. Don't put leaves in a bath. Don't put the flowers in a bath. Don't put it in a bath. Don't put it in a steamer. Like, a, you know, if you put boiling water and you like to, you know, put diffuse, don't do it. Don't do it. If you're going to do anything with oleander, wear gloves, put it in sealed bags, like charm bags or a jar spell, things like that. Take it seriously.
Good call.
Yeah. Like, don't give your whole body fucking dermatitis and go into shock in the bathtub.
I mean, but can you imagine, though, because of its prevalence, what if you live in an apartment complex where they grow this and you don't know, and you're like, how beautiful. So you pluck a few to throw in your bath because you want to feel fancy. And you get fucked.
I guess most people, I don't know, actually. I don't know if just most people are taught from a young age to identify oleander. I don't know. Yeah. Because I don't see how it doesn't happen like more often, you know, like how poisonings don't happen more often just from accidental exposure like that. You know, exactly like what you said, like somebody wants to treat themselves and have a nice little self-love day and take a bath and they want to put some pretty pink flowers in their bath water. And no, I mean, it's not, it might not wind them up in the ER. It might, but it just might break them out in a rash, you know, but I'm just amazed you don't hear that happening more often.
Huh. Wow.
You know, back to the protective nature, and I do kind of like that they surround the house all the way around almost. And I do like that because they are good in a protective way to place, like to plant outside. I don't know if I would plant any if they weren't already here. Just because it is a poisonous plant. But, you know, if you take care of it and whatnot, and that's your bag. But yeah, it kind of is like a little pillar of protection out there on its own, you know, just kind of staking her ground and whatnot. It's just a very confident plant. Confidence, the word that I would use. Like, that's the nature. It's toxic as hell, but even so, we put it everywhere for hundreds of years. And I feel like oleander knows that. And it's just solid fuck you energy. Yeah. Like, to the whole plant is just giving you the finger in spirit all of the time, but in a smug, I'm a bad bitch kind of way.
Yeah, like cocky, but can also back it up.
Exactly. And, you know, and I appreciate that. And I do, like, I do have some, and I think I will use it in spell work, especially for protection and whatnot, because it's like you have a good protection jar spell and you just drop some fucking knuckle dusters in there or something, you know, like that's what it feels like. It's like, and the sandpaper all out.
Nails. Dude, yeah. Let's get fucking matching Let's get matching oleander tattoos and then like some script under it that says like, be an oleander.
Oh my God.
Not great. Official tattoo. Stand tall and proud like an oleander. Dude, if somebody gets that fucking tattooed, we'll give you 1 million doll hairs.
1 million Wubba money units.
Congrats, it's Hershey Kisses.
So
no, really, honestly, we're not going to give anybody anything. Don't ask us.
Especially 1 million of anything.
No.
So to close, if you do want to use it in spell work, go for it. Again, just be sure to kind of be careful with it. It's a poison. Clean up after yourself. Make sure, like, if you like cut one down or whatever, like for instance, like if you have a dog that likes to chew on sticks and whatnot, if you cut it down, like pull everything up so like your dog just doesn't wander over and gnaw on it and it can make them sick, things like that. Just be cognizant. But you know, it can kind of kick some ass in a spell a little bit. And you know, if you want to use it for that, go for it. Or if you want to plant some like as little henchmen, bad bitch plants, you know, I guess you can do that. You can do that too. You know, it's versatile. But yeah, that's oleander, the hard bitch that is oleander.
Oh, we haven't had a hard bitch.
Yeah, nice. No, she's hard bitch.
A hard bitch. Okay, good. I'm glad we have these groupings. We've got our soft bitches. We've got our little hornies. Now we have hard bitch.
Hard bitch.
Okay, now I'm also kind of picturing like oleander in like a leather jacket.
Yeah.
She like rolls up next to a like a motorcycle gang and they're like, hey, pretty lady, show me your titties. And she like gets off the bike and shoots them and just like doesn't even look back and drives off. You know, like that bitch.
Yeah. Mad oleander energy.
That's what the tattoo says. Mad oleander energy.
Oleander energy. Wow.
Well, that was lovely. That was a treat. I feel like we haven't had something quite like that before.
Not yet. Well, I don't know if we've covered a toxic, you know, like a poison.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there was that episode where we did give lengthy instruction on how to kill people, but
what episode was that?
We've never done it. Unreleased.
Oh, can you imagine? That was like that's the lost tape. That's the lost second episode is just us.
Yeah. Instructing you how to mercilessly kill people with poisons.
Did we ever find and release that second episode?
I think we found it. I think it might be saved somewhere in just the catacombs of my computer. But we have not released it. We're saving it for a rainy day where we want to put out an episode, but also maybe technical difficulties or something happen, and we'll just be like, today we're releasing the magical second episode.
Oh God, it's going to be so shit.
Oh, it's going to be so shit. Dude, it's the second episode we ever did. Technically, we recorded it right after our first ever episode, yeah. So it still has that first episode energy. We only had one fucking mic between the two of us.
Yeah.
And we were
like a not good mic.
Oh God, and we were just babies.
Yeah, we were babies. We were sweet summer children.
Sweet. Oh, so full of fear.
And arrogance.
And yeah. But also a weird amount of self-consciousness. I feel like there was probably a lot of nervous giggling. Not that there's still not a lot of giggling, but a lot of nervous giggles.
It's weird when you sit down in front of a mic for the first time. And like it can be a normal conversation, but it's like, but the mic is here too. And it's just strange.
Yeah. Yeah. You take on a different, I've noticed that I project differently when I'm sitting in front of a mic. I'm still saying the things I would probably say. However, actually we talked about this a little bit when we were together doing the Christmas episode, we were setting up these new mics and the mics weren't even recording yet, but Macy and I were talking to each other the way we do when we record. Mm-hmm. And I was like, do you notice that even when we're not recording, if we're in front of mics, we get a banter going.
And now it's muscle memory, you know, like, we've done it for going on 3 years, which also puts.
Can you believe that?
No.
Oh,
No, I can't. But it makes me feel better as to why I can't remember anything that we've talked about, because we have enough time under our belts now to where how fucking could we?
You know what? I wonder, I wish there was an easy way to tell how much our total, like, produced time is. I guess we could just roll through and add everything up, but that would be very, what's like a quick way? Let's say each episode is about an hour, give or take, because sometimes we do 4-hour episodes, and we've done 200 and, or we've done 100 and fucking, what is this? This is 129 that we're recording right now. So what's that times an hour for each?
That would be 100 and that would be however many hours worth of episode, because it's 1-to-1. So if you drive at 60 miles an hour for an hour, how many miles did you go?
The amount of time that I took talking about that. Fuck. I'll put that at the end. Only people who stick around get to hear how fucking stupid I am.
Wow.
Woof. Wow. Well, what's 129 divided by 24?
Hell, I don't know.
Well, I'm going to bring up a calculator because I'd like to see.
I can't do head math very well. It's not my friend.
Macy, we have spent on the extremely low end, the conservative estimation, we have spent over 5.4 straight days recording.
That's a lot.
Not even recording, because we record for probably much longer than the actual episode.
Yeah.
We have published 5 full days. If you were to sit down and start at episode 1 and then wrap up, you would be at it for at least 5 days, no sleep.
It's taking all these fucking losers so many months to do it, man. They're doing 5 fucking days.
What's fucking wrong with you people?
How about you get dedicated?
How about you get on that real fan shit? We get sued because somebody tries to stay up for 5 days and listen to us.
I feel so dirty.
I know.
So fucking dirty talking like that.
No, it's so gross. You know, there's got to be a handful of people out there who don't know how completely sardonic we're being when we act like that. And they just think we are the most full of ourselves pieces of shit. What do we do about that? Do we keep going? Do we end the podcast now? I don't know what to do.
Well, we got to roll into socials and shit.
I meant like in the podcast as a whole. Like, do we stop now because we've done 5 days? Or
do we end
the Witch Bitch Amateur Hour?
You do 5 days. You do 10 days.
If you do 5 days, you got to do at least a week, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's...
You do 10 days.
We haven't even finished out a calendar week yet.
God, we're lazy pieces of shit. You know what I could do for 5 days straight? I could sit alone facing the corner in a dark room getting down on some hot, steamy review footage.
I chowed down on some... I hadn't had some baked beans in several months. No, and I chowed down on some the other day. No? Yeah, you're right. My bad. Review footage. And I got down on it. And it was good. And it was real good.
Did you eat it cold? I know you do that sometimes.
Oh, you fucking bet I did.
You're disgusting.
No.
Disgusted. All right. Well, Nicholas Culpepper is here to read our review today. I don't remember the voice I did, so if he sounds a little different, I'm sorry.
I'm sure he will.
Today's episode is from Windy the Good. It's called So Many Episodes. I came across this podcast a few...
I can tell you something, dude. It's quite lovely. It's very smooth and very peaceful to listen to. It's nice.
I like it. Yeah. Okay, well, if you pardon some of my mispronunciations, here we go. I came across this podcast a few weeks ago, and I'm trying to catch up from the first one. I love these gals. I feel like they are my friends. I'm often snorting with laughter while listening to Wabah in the bathtub, and my teenage sons yell at me nervously from the rooms.
Mom!
I'm on episode 10, I think. So there's like so many to listen to and to get current on, and no, I cannot listen out of order. Thank you for your wit, charms, wisdom, hilarity, and openness. Hugs and kisses. Hugs and kisses.
I feel like that voice went through a...
aged. Nicholas Culpepper just lived a lifetime in that review.
Well, you know, when you come through as a ghost, everything's a lot faster.
Oh, sure, like of course.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. Thank you, Wendy the Good. I'm sorry.
Macy, if you'd like to advertise with the Witch Bitch Amateur Hour, you can do that now. It's this hot new thing on this hot new website. What is it?
You can slip on over to advertisecast.com/the Witch Bitch Amateur Hour.
We have an email address where you can send spooky sodes or just little hey, how's your father's? Is that dirty? Does that mean something dirty?
I don't know.
In British. Our email address is wbhpodcast.com. We have an Insta Jim over on our Instagram. What is Jim up to? I feel like he's bathing in licorice slime.
Oh, you know,
getting ready.
I mean, I feel like he's been, you know, rolling around in some good soft peat, you know, and moistening up again, you know, some good moist, like a peat bog. He's there because, you know, he dried out this year and he focused on that. But, you know, sometimes you just want to go back to what you know. And
well, I mean, it's wintertime.
Back in the peat, you know, you dry out in the wintertime.
Yeah. Got to flop around in some good loam.
Oh, loam.
Loamy soil. Anyway. You can find him over on our Instagram at Witch Bitch Amateur Hour. We have one Twitter where we one tweet at
Bitch Hour.
We have a Facebook. Come dine on a meal of oleanders with us at Witch Amateur Hour. We have a Peppa Pip Patreon if you feel like contributing to this bullshit. It's patreon.com/WBAH podcast. Yeah, man. And where does the sweetest, crispiest little, a little bit sad because Christmas is over, P.O. Box in Texas live?
She lives at P.O. Box. That's post office box.
That's eight. P as in... Oh. Potamus. Wait, that's not a word.
Potamus.
I panicked. My brain panicked. Okay.
What else? There was something else I had to say.
P.O. Box.
Oh, yeah. 865. Canton, Texas. Texas. 75103.
You can also pick up some of that merch over on our Teespring. Hit up our website, smash that subscribe button. And if you want to be notified when we put out new content, ring that bell. Oh, did you like that? Was that good for you?
It was accurate.
What if that's who we become?
No.
You know? What if once we are finally, you know, kind of doing this in a visual format and we're doing these things we want to do, what if we become that person, that channel?
Then I feel like our listeners will 112% call us out on it.
Yeah. Or maybe they'll just be like sitting at home very confused, like, okay, when are they going to drop this bit?
Yeah.
Because if we can do anything, if we do anything, it's stretch out a bit, man.
Until it screams, yeah.
And then we drop it and never talk about
never
it again.
Never talk about it again. Yeah. No, that is our MO, talking about P.O. Box 865. So I think you are coming at some point within the next week or so out here. Yeah. And we're going to do a record session. And we have had some sweet Christmas presents sent to us and Christmas cards from listeners.
Dude.
So we can get down on those next week and thank everybody.
I wonder if that's something that would be fun to do, like on a, like just open up a quick live and do, or, you know, kind of like when we did the Hearth Wisdom box.
Yeah.
You know, we could do a quick little thing, or like, would anyone even be interested in that? I don't know. Let us know if you guys,
we don't know what people want.
We don't know what people want, but we do want, I do know, if allow me to get a little sappy here. I do know that we have a stone cold pack of fucking awesome people in this community.
We really do.
We're very blessed, and it's our last episode of the year, and I'm very glad to put a bow on this one and send it down the poop chute, you know? Let's get this shit over with.
I agree. And, you know, one of the sweet, like something very sweet, and it's something that is, I think, dying a little bit in practice, but like we had some listeners just send us just some Christmas cards. And that's so touching to me, like just a Christmas card, quick little note in it, you know, and those were so sweet.
I love a Christmas card. I like any kind of, I don't know, maybe I'm cheesy, but I like these little, these I'm thinking of you sentiments. You know, you were like, we were important enough for somebody to like put a stamp on a thing.
Stamp on us. Yeah.
It's so fucking cool. I can't get over it.
It is. It's very nice. And so I've kind of set it all aside. We've got all kinds of stuff, and I've not even really spoiled it too much for myself either. So we'll just go through it.
Lit. So I guess for the last time this year, this has been the Witch Bitch Amateur Hour. Closing thoughts, Mace?
Closing thoughts? I don't even really want to give this year the satisfaction of talking any more about it.
I love closing thoughts. No. Okay. And we're done. We're out. 2020.
I'm gonna pee and then eat dinner. I would eat a real dinner, but I'm eating oatmeal because I'm kind of hungover.
No!